You are worth it all. And I am so glad. Oh, wait a minute. Stop, Marilyn. Marilyn Scott, where are you? Why are you doing this? Okay, stop. Welcome, everyone, to the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba, coming to you live from the offices of Daniel & Associates Real Estate, which is my real estate company. I am a real estate managing broker and owner of this company. And the only reason why I tell you, it's not like you're going to buy a house from me if you're out of state. But the reason why I tell you that is because I, too, am an alcoholic and I'm in recovery. That's right. Today being it's not November yet. It's October 27th of 2019, and that means I have been sober a total of 24 years, 1 month, and 27 days of continuous sobriety. Oh, yeah, I am celebrating. In fact, how did I celebrate today? Well, today, as the president of the West Chicago Lions Club for the fourth time, we had a pancake breakfast, and while it wasn't the most rip-roaring pancake breakfast and we didn't make gazillions and trillions of dollars like we were hoping to, we had a fun time, and we had a nice time. And I think our biggest highlight was there were two adults that came in, and I know they were financially strapped, and they came in and they thought they were going to, you know, just kind of ease on by without paying. And I said, hey, guys, you got to pay. And I came to realize that they could only afford to feed their kids. They had four young children, so we comped them, okay? And, you know, we helped them out. And that's what we do in the Lions Club, is help people out. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are kind of struggling, and we want to help them out. And that's something that I could do today, that I'm sober, that is selfish and not selfish, selfless and not selfish, okay? So we did that, and we had a good time, and it was nice. And will we do it again? Sure we will. We'll see, figure out ways to help other people in other ways. But you know what? That's what I do today now that I don't drink, and I work on things. And then, you know, following that, I went golfing with my good friend Marvin. And guess who joined me? My son. That's right. My son Dan joined me. It was a highlight of my day. He is not working at this time. He took a break, a sabbatical from work. It was getting to him. But you know what I found out today? That my son has been working a program. Well, actually, he's just staying sober for the last maybe 17 months. Congratulations, Dan, on staying sober. And we had a really nice time. We had a fun time. Originally, it was just supposed to be my friend Marvin and I and my friend Mike and his friend, Janet. And when I saw the opportunity that my son could join us, I said, hey, let's see if we can make it a fivesome. And when we got there, they said, no, you can't make it a fivesome. You have to split it up. And it wasn't even a hard decision. I said, well, good, then I'm going to split up with my son. And Marvin joined us and stayed with us. And Mike and Janet went off and signed up with another guy. So, you know, we intuitively know what to do, the next right thing. Intuitively know what to do. And that was that I wanted to spend time with my son. I was really happy that we had a fun time. He's a fair golfer. He hasn't golfed in a couple years, but he can drive the ball pretty well. And we just had a fun time. It was great from about 1 o'clock till about 5:30. And then he drove me home because I rode with Marvin. And then he drove me back here to the office. And we sat around for a while because what he's going to be doing starting Friday is traveling around the country, going visiting sites and friends that he'd like to. He's 34. He doesn't have any responsibility relationship-wise. And he quit his job because it was just too much, and thought he'd take a break, and good for him. He's all prepared. He fixed his car, worked on it, got it all ready to go, and he's going to begin his adventure on Friday. I wanted him to have some things, and so I printed them off, several things that I thought were important. And I explained to him that while I work a program in sobriety, I am so grateful for all the things I've learned. Because when I first got sober, which was 24 years, 1 month, and 27 days ago today, but who's counting? I am, of course. But when I got sober, I wasn't very much of a dad to him. I was going to a lot of meetings. I needed a lot of meetings. And I said to him, Dan, number one, I didn't know how to be a dad. Number two, I realized that I needed to be around this program, that I needed a lot of help. It wasn't enough to quit drinking. It was important for me to not only quit drinking, but to work on my thinking problem, because I had a serious thinking problem. In fact, that's what most of us say today, is that I didn't have a drinking problem. I had a thinking problem. And my best thinking got me drinking. And I got to tell you something. I'm so glad today that I'm working on that thinking problem on a daily basis. But it's not consuming me. It isn't. It's really not consuming me, and it's great. And I'm grateful for the way my life is now, that I made the choice to attend meetings. Because if I would have not attended meeting and attempted to try to be a father to my son when I didn't even know how to be a father, I didn't even know how to be a human being, let alone. Because I was very selfish. I chased after women, skirts. That was my way. And I explained some of this to my son tonight. That was my way of feeling loved, is to be with a woman physically. And I craved to be loved because I hated myself. I didn't love myself. I hated myself. But yet, I, like a lot of people, want love. I wanted to be loved. And I didn't know how to find that love and where to find it. And I obviously looked in all the wrong places. Yeah, that song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. There's so many songs that really reflect what life was about and what it was like for me. And that was certainly one of them. And I found, you know, it was very selfish, and I wasn't a good dad. And at a time when my son was young, I did things that I thought were right, but I did the best job I could. And here it is, he's 34, and was one of the best days that I spent with my son in years today. And I'm grateful for that gift. It was great. And that's what happens with this program. The gifts keep getting better. And I read them to him. That was funny. So what did I give him to take on his trip? Well, I printed him up a lot of material of key things that I'm going to share with you again tonight. I started out by saying, Dan, I wanted you to understand on how it works, how this program works for me. And maybe it could work the same for you. By the way, this is a live program, folks. Gosh, I keep getting off on that tangent and forget. It's a live program. If you want to if you want to stop and ask a question, if you have a comment, if this, you know, empowers you to say, yeah, I know that feeling and I want to share that, or what can I do and how can I do it, you can call in the show tonight. Area code 323-580-5755, and we can chat. You could be part of the show, or you could just listen, or whatever. You might have something that's important and that happened to you, and we would love to hear it. The show is in our 8th year. We're 7.5 years into this program, and I explained to my son that sometimes nobody listens. Sometimes there's a bunch of people listen, but it doesn't matter because I do the show for me. Because this is the best way that I found to address my thinking problem. And, of course, going to meetings is another good way. And just this last week, I was explaining to the lovely Mrs. Martha, my wife, Martha, that I was feeling a little depressed because things weren't going the way that I would like them to. They were struggling and stagnating. And, you know, you have these hopes. And I'm getting rid of the expectations. I don't have expectations. But you have hopes. I have hopes of how I want to see my job going and my work going and my life going. And when they don't all work the way we hope that they do, it can get a little depressing at times. And depression is generally something having to do with me being selfish about myself, okay? So, and feeling powerless. But I explained it to the lovely wife, and I said to her, you know, I need a meeting. I need to go someplace. I need to address this. And very supportive she was. Well, good. Whatever you need, get. And that was good. And thank you, the lovely Martha, for being there and sharing with me and doing all those things, understanding how to handle me. We will fix our own selves. That's the good thing about this program, okay? We will fix ourselves. We don't need somebody else to fix us. It helps, and I explained to my son, Dan, I said, I was equipped with the tools of how to fix myself by going to these meetings. And you might be able to get the same thing out of it if that's what you want to do. I know that he was going to counseling, and good for you. Good for, you know, counseling is a good thing for people that need it. But I explained to him that I used to go to counseling until I found this program. And it's not to say I didn't go see a counselor or two. I even went to a hypnotherapist that helped me out a lot. And I had issues. But I tell you what, the program of recovery, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, truly helped me out. And they continue to help me out on a daily basis, one day at a time, one step at a time. And they can for you if that's what you want. And that's what I said to them. I said, here, you know, here's a program that I suggest that worked for me, and maybe it'll work for you. And so what I did was I printed up a bunch of material with them, starting out how it works. And we're going to read that, because that is probably, of all material Alcoholics Anonymous presents and provides, and it's a lot of really good stuff, that's my favorite, because it tells you, tells me how it works, how the program of recovery works one day, one step at a time, and that's all you got to do. And if you work it, and I told my sons, well, diligently, and we'll talk about it. Let me read how it works, because I want you to hear how it works for me, okay? And it goes on like this. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one that has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if He were sought. You know, that is how it works. It works very well, and it works very wonderfully for me. And it can for you too if you, again, if you thoroughly follow our path. Again, I explained to my son the importance of really, really, really working on getting your life together. My life, his life, whatever life, together. Because I needed it. I was pretty lost. The fortunate thing for him, and I explained that to him, is that he should know that he is very loved. He'll always have a roof over his head. And that many people love and care about him. And that's an important thing in anybody's world today. Now, I saw a horrible thing happen on Facebook the other day. Okay? It's so horrible. I saw a gentleman take his life. Yeah, with a gun, a rifle. He put it to his head. I didn't know what he was doing. And boom, half his head disappeared. And it almost seemed like it was a joke and a prank. But it wasn't. It was sad. It was real. And it kept looping. And the fact that he video recorded it was very sad. Here's a guy, in his youth, he was like 35, 40 years old, and he just gave up his life that quickly. And I got to tell you something, I remember those moments when I felt that lost, that I thought it would be easier to let go of my life than to face the problems that I had created and to try to make them work out. And I'm so glad. I've got to tell you something. I am so glad that I didn't take my life. I am so glad that I didn't own a gun. Because if I had a gun, I might have done the same thing that this poor soul did and give up his life that quickly. And I told to my son, I said to my son, you know, 25, 24 years, 1 month, 27 days ago, I wrestled with suicide quite a bit. And I'm so glad I didn't take my life. And 24 years later, life is keeps getting better and better. I have a wonderful wife. Her name is Martha. Where did she come from? I don't know. She stepped out of heaven into my life. Okay? And we have a good life. And it's not perfect. And I'm not financially sound. But you know what? I'm so much better off than I was before. Because I stopped drinking. And I stopped making the kind of mistakes that I made when I drank. I'm still making mistakes, and I'm not perfect. I'm just doing the best I can and living the life the best I can. And I'm having a pretty good life. Again, today we went golfing. That was nice. With my son. And there was a time when my son didn't even want to talk to me. And it took a long, long time. And thank you to all those in my life that told me to hang in there. When I wanted to quit, when I wanted to give up on him, Yeah, it was tough watching him run off with his stepdad. It's not been that long. And I told you, I unfriended him in Facebook not a couple months ago, just simply because it was hard for me to see him having a great time with his stepdad. Not that I didn't want him to have it. I just had a hard time looking at it because he spent more time with his stepdad than with me. But again, all I kept doing is saying, yep, that's the party tax I'm paying for all the fun that I thought I was having when I drank. And was I having fun? It wasn't worth it. Not at all. I tell you, it was not worth losing the relationship with my son, watching somebody else teach my son to drive a car. Not watching my son, you know, do the things to go to college and help him. Not at all. Not being there with his mom, and not that I wanted to be with his mom, but, you know, again, parents should be with their kids. I will say that. And it can't always happen, but I got to tell you something. I'm learning, and I'm telling people and sharing with people my story so that maybe it'll make a difference in their lives. And that's what this purpose of this show is about. If you're going to listen, maybe you'll learn something about my life that'll help your life. And that's why we ask people to share on this show live. It's not for voyeurism, but you're certainly welcome to listen. You may find this incredibly intriguing. You may be in counselor school and want to become a counselor and want to hear what it's like from someone who actually works a program on a daily basis and admits that I'm powerless over alcohol every day. You know, the only perfect thing that I have to do every day, and you know what that is? Is that I shouldn't drink. If I do that perfectly, don't drink, I have the best chance of having a great life or a better life. And it works. And that's the only perfect thing because I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. And human beings, just by general nature, we are flawed. We are not perfect. Okay? So, I gave my son a copy of How It Works. And I said to him, if you get a chance, it's easy read, read it. It's really powerful stuff. I'm so grateful that he found being sober. I don't know if I and my actions inspired it. It doesn't really matter how he found it. I'm glad he did. And I hope he has a great life because he's a great kid. I've always loved that boy of mine. Even when he was mad, he was mad at me and I was mad at him. I've always loved him. I love my daughters too, Jessica and Natalie. And maybe someday we'll have a closer relationship with them. But right now, you know, it's I got to tell you, I'm really celebrating this day today. It was a very exciting day for me in ways that, you know, I didn't always get. And that was to spend time with my son, Dan. Okay? He's not Dan Jr. I didn't want to burden him with Dan Jr., especially at a time in my life where I knew I was struggling. I didn't want that kind of burden on him. And I named him after myself, though, and a man that I have great respect for, Richard. My friend Richard Rubin, an attorney who has been almost like a father to me and a big brother at the same time and a buddy and a pal and at times a jerk. Yeah. But more times, he's come to my aid and helped me, and he's a human being. And I accept his humanness as he has accepted mine. Okay? Doesn't mean we like it, but we accept it as that's who we are. And I'll be ever grateful to Richard for his support and help over the years to help me become the person that I am today. You know, there's so many people, if I sat down, and I should start writing a list of all the people that have helped me. I will say that my son was a big part of my life. If my son wasn't around, I probably would have probably killed myself. I would have committed suicide. But he was the greatest reason that I didn't. I did not think that it was right for me to leave that as a heritage that I killed myself. Okay? Now, I didn't have much to offer him, period. because my life was kind of a mess. But I just didn't think that that was a way that I wanted to see him write it off. I've known other people who've lost their fathers, and they tried to make sense of it, and they got on with life. They did okay. But I just didn't want that as my son's heritage. So the point is that I just didn't want that for him. So it kept me from really taking that step and committing suicide. And I definitely stayed away from guns. Not at all. And when I sobered up, even though I felt depressed, I knew that as I was always told that this too shall pass, no matter how tough the day or the moment is, just hang in there because this too will pass. And I wasn't making it worse with alcohol, really. Now, the show is The Road to Recovery. It really addresses most of my recovery from addictions, my alcoholism, my addiction for sex, right? But any addiction that you have can be addressed, whether you're a gambler or you take drugs, whether you are addicted to chaos, and there are those of you out there that are. You know, you can get away from it and have a good life. And it's one day at a time, one step at a time. But really, one day at a time, all you have to take care of is today. I'm pretty confident today, being 7:30 right now, 7:35. I'm pretty confident that I'm not going to drink today. Okay? It's just no interest in my life to want to drink. There's no happiness. If I won the lottery, it wouldn't be like, well, I won the lottery and now I can go out and drink because I got all the money in the world that I don't have to worry. I wouldn't want to do that because what I've got is worth more than any money that I could win. It is self-respect. It is love that I have. I have a woman that loves me. I have a woman that I love, that I'm committed to. And I have a good life. It's pretty good life. So, I would like to share that with you. And if you don't have it, I would like to help you get it. I have to laugh because just before doing the show, I received a text message from someone that I hadn't talked to. He used to work for me. And I had brought up his name yesterday, day before. Haven't talked to him in almost a year. He quit because he said that I wasn't paying him enough money and he could make more money other places. And I said, that's fine. And I wasn't angry about it. I wasn't upset. That's all I could afford to pay him. I thought it was a good wage. And it was okay that it didn't work for him. He went on to do other things. I also thought that he might benefit from working a 12-step program, but again, that's his choice, not mine. But I didn't have a problem letting him know that I worked one. And again, it's really funny how some people want to point out that you have a shortcoming because you can't drink any longer. And I tell people, guess what? I can drink. There is nothing out there that is stopping me from drinking other than myself. I just don't want to. I enjoy all the perks and the benefits that I have from not drinking. I would like more. And I know that if I keep working this program, I might not get more, but I definitely am not going to lose what I have to alcohol. And there is a good chance that I might make some more. I might make further advances. And life can continue to get better for me, one day, one step at a time. And I got to tell you something. I would love to be around long enough to see the maximum benefit that I can get in my life, my physical life, by staying sober, one day, one step at a time. So join me every week as I share with you what it was like for me in the last week. I read this text message, by the way, from this guy that used to work for me, and I got to tell you something, it's a little bit off the wall. It really is. And the conversation just keeps going on. Wow. Oh, my God. You know, the rantings, again, when we say we have a thinking problem, I got to tell you something, folks, we do. Some of us self-medicate, and that's not a good thing. Self-medication is not a good thing. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be locked up, but some of us probably would benefit from being locked up, keep ourselves safe. But you know what I found in the state of Illinois? It is not illegal to be nuts, only if you try to hurt yourself or someone. And at that point, then they'll lock you up. But if you just rant whatever about anything, you can. That's your business. I had a mother-in-law that used to think that people were throwing rocks at her house, okay? And she used to go out and inspect the brick work because she thought the pastor of the local church was throwing rocks at her house for some reason. And who knows, maybe he did at one point to get her attention. And now she just thinks it's going on a regular basis. Who knows? Again, but that's the beauty of this program. We give people an outlet to express their thoughts. Sometimes, at some point, after talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, you may listen to what you're saying and go, hey, I think that's a little bit off the wall. Maybe I should not talk like that anymore. I don't have a need to talk like that anymore. But there's a point in the beginning where there's so much to be said, we don't even listen to ourselves. We just rattle on, expecting other people to listen and expecting to make an impact with what we say. And sometimes we just say a bunch of gibberish. It just comes out of our mouth. Gibber, 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 gibberish. Okay? That's why this program works very well. Now, I did read to my son, by the way, the AA promises. The AA promises. There are promises. And I got to tell you something. I'm enjoying them. Okay? AA promises. Definitely, I am enjoying them. And they go like this. Number one, if we are painstaking, and that's important, guys, painstaking, about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. It didn't say, wait till the end and you're going to figure it out. No, if you put your energy and focus into this program, especially in the beginning, painstakingly, you will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I got to tell you something. Being free of alcohol and the problems that it created financially and, you know, around me was probably one of the first things that I enjoyed freedom-wise because I didn't have the same burden that I did before. But it took a while to shake that because a lot of people thought that I still drank, and I didn't. I did not drink alcohol. Not. Okay? So I did start to enjoy a new freedom. And I love that about my life. I have a new freedom. And you can too. You can have a new freedom in your life. Painstaking, one day, one step at a time. Right? Okay. So we're going to go to the next. Number three. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. I don't know about so much not regretting. But I will say, when I put it into perspective that I learned something because of my past, then it makes sense and I can go along with it. I could nod my head and say, yeah, I will not regret that because it's helped me become the man that I am today. I wish I had never started drinking in the first place, but I don't know, maybe my thinking problem would have showed up in another way in my life, contrary to the way it was. Okay? So, I'm glad for the past, but I'm not going to shut the door on it. I'm just not going to live in it. I'm not going to stand in the muck of the past. But there's things to be learned from it. Number four, we will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. And I got to tell you something, I do know peace. I could sleep comfortably, calmly tonight, today. I wake up lots of times. I wake up having some wild-ass great dreams. I was a hit. I was a mob guy the other night in my dream. Now, I don't know that I rubbed anybody out, but I did talk about, like, I would rub somebody out. I don't know where I got it from. It doesn't really matter. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoy my dreams. I'm not afraid of going to sleep, and I'm not afraid of waking up because I know I can go right back to sleep. It works. Now, number five, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And I got to tell you something, folks. I really see the benefits that I can share with other people in my life. And all I got to do is share my personal experience, strength, and hope. I don't have to tell anybody what to do. I didn't tell my son what to do. I asked him, suggested that, you know, he read the program, read the material. But, you know, I can't tell anybody what to do. It maybe as an employer, and I could tell people what to do, and if they want to do it and keep their job, fine. But aside from that, it's all about choices. And we, as I grow older, I realize the importance that we have of making choices and accepting that we made those choices. So number six, the feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And I read this to my son, and I said, Dan, I really felt useless. I felt like I had so many talents and gifts that I wasn't using them. And I really did feel self-pity. I lived in a pity pot. And it was part of that part, pity pot, that I thought about killing myself. Yeah, it was terrible. Okay. Let's see. Number seven, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. And I told him, Dan, I really did lose interest in chasing skirts, chasing women. I still enjoy it. Not as a married man. I do like looking at women. And I got to tell you something. I'm grateful to a higher power that saw it to take away my potency. Yeah, I'm sort of impotent. That doesn't mean I still can't care and show love and physical love to my wife, but I don't have the driving sex drive that I did before Martha. Our relationship, Martha and I, was based on a relationship of mutual respect and love. And we've been together physically many times, but it's not what our relationship is about. And there were people most of my life that's all our relationship was about, was physical love. And I realized that that's not real love. That is lust. Lust. And when lust leaves for people, then you lose interest. And I lost interest in many people after I had them physically. So I'm glad I don't have that driving problem anymore. And I explained that to my son. Self-seeking will slip away. It's not all about Dan. It just isn't anymore. I like volunteering to and for all the people I volunteer for. Now, maybe it's a little much at times. I'm not going to deny that. But I feel that if I don't hold on, it might fall through the cracks. Like, I was, believe it or not, the president of the Women's Council of Real Estate. That's right, 15, 20 years ago. When it wasn't very popular and the club was going down, and I took over as president for 2 years because the people that were supposed to be the leadership didn't want the responsibility anymore. And I thought it was a worthwhile program that allowed men in, but mostly women. And I carried the banner for 2 years until somebody else stepped up. And now that organization still is going strong, doing wonderful things for women in real estate. And while they don't remember me, most of them, I feel I've done something of importance to help them out. And I feel good about it. And again, it doesn't mean that a lot of people have to know about it, but I know about it, and I'm glad that I did it. And sometimes that's the best thing we can do, is just carry it along long enough to keep it going. And it's the same thing with the Lions Club. You know, my third and fourth time as president, because nobody else wanted to step up, and I didn't want to see the chapter fold. 40-something members and have it fold? Nah, that wasn't good. Okay, it's different because we have a lot of senior members that are not only old, but they're dying. They're that old. And with them dies the commitment of these gentlemen that put this thing together 50 years ago. One of the guys was at our pancake breakfast this morning, and you can't help but to congratulate him on being a member for over 50 years and doing wonderful things for the community. So self-seeking will slip away. Number 9, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Hey, just listen to me. My whole attitude is changed. I'm not as angry and frustrated. I'm not self-serving and self-centered as I was before. Much better. Number 10, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Well, you know, standing in front of people without a script, having to speak off the top of my head, I've gotten beyond that. This program has helped me out. I love talking to people and love helping out. And I know that if I spend most of my time congratulating and pointing out highlights of people, that's a good thing. And a lot of people love it. Not everybody can handle it, but it's something that I like doing. Okay? And so I'm not really afraid of people. And insecurity financially, well, guys, they have to accept that I don't make a lot of money. People think that I make lots and lots of money. And I don't, and I'm okay with it. I don't have to make lots of money. Yet, I told my son, I said, you know what? I know that I always have a roof over my head, that my wife and I, a partnership that I have with her, will always be there for me. And I just have to keep taking care of my relationship with her and stay sober, because that's how I got it. And does my wife drink? She does. She does on occasion. She knows when to slow down and stop for herself. I don't have to say a word. I don't say a word. It's not my business. Just like I don't tell anybody what to do anymore. I just won't let them drive a vehicle if I'm around knowing that they've been drinking. That's just not a good thing. But aside from that, it's not my job to tell people what to do and how to drink. And that's their life. They're adults. Okay? But what I can tell them is what happened to me in my life and why I don't do it anymore. Number 11, we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. Well, some people think that that's finally us listening to God, our conscience, talk to us and telling us what He wants us to do. And I believe it's true. I used to hear that voice and drink so I couldn't hear it any longer. So that my little devil voice said, go ahead, ignore it, write it off as you were drinking. Well, I don't want that anymore. I really don't. I don't want that kind of life, okay? And number 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And believe me, I am on Jesus' power, okay? I believe my higher power is the Lord Jesus and His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's okay, you don't have to. But I got to tell you something. When I started embracing that knowledge and wisdom, my life really started getting so much better. And wouldn't you, if you want it better, you may want to even try to do what we're talking about. Now, we're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. I'm going to take a break because I'm tired of talking. Maybe before, I got 10 minutes, maybe I'll read why we were chosen. I explained to my son that we were chosen and why. And here's why. What are we chosen for, by the way? We were chosen to be alcoholics. Why? Well, God, in his infinite wisdom, selected this group of men and women to be purveyors of his goodness, and selecting them to whom to bring about this phenomenon. He went on, not to the proud, the mighty, the famous, or the brilliant. He went instead to the humble, to the sick, to the unfortunate. He went right to the drunkard, the so-called weakling of the world. Well, might he have said to the following words to us? Well, might he have said the following words to us? Unto your weak and feeble hands I have entrusted a power beyond estimate. To you have been given that which has been denied the most learned of your fellows, not to scientists or statesmen, not to wives or mothers, or even to priests, to my priests or ministers, have I given this gift of healing other alcoholics, which I entrust to you. It must be used unselfishly. It carries with it grave responsibility. No day can be too long, no demands upon your time can be too urgent. No case can be too pitiful, no task too hard, no effort too great. It must be used with tolerance, for I have restricted its application to no race, no creed, and no denomination. Personal criticism you must expect. Lack of appreciation will be common. Ridicule will be your lot. Your motives will be misjudged. You must be prepared for adversity. For what men call adversity is the ladder you must use to ascend the rungs towards spiritual perfection. And remember, in the exercise of this power, I shall not exact from you beyond your capabilities. You are not selected because of exceptional talents. And be careful always, if success attends your efforts, not to ascribe to personal superiority that to which you can lay claim only by virtue of my gift. If I had wanted learned men to accomplish this mission, this power would have been entrusted to the physician and scientist. If I wanted eloquent men, there would have been many anxious for the assignment, for talk is the easiest use of all talents with which I have endowed mankind. If I had wanted scholarly men, the world is filled with better qualified men than you who would be available. You were selected because you have been the outcasts of the world, and your long experience as drunkards has made or should make you humbly alert to the cries of distress that come from the lonely hearts of alcoholics everywhere. Keep ever in mind the admission you made on the day of your profession in AA, namely, that you are powerless, and that it was only with your willingness to turn your life and will unto my keeping that relief came to you. There you go. That is what I believe the reason why we were chosen to be alcoholics. And I feel honored that I am one, and that I found the program of recovery, one day, one step at a time. here because I have a great life today, something I didn't have when I was out there using, out there drinking. And today, it just keeps getting better and better. Not a perfect life, but it's much, much better than I ever had. Okay, we're going to take a break here, boys and girls, moms and dads. I want to remind you, this is a live show, and you could have called in if you wanted to in the first hour, because we've been on the air for an hour. I want to do shouts out to Steve, my friend, and Tony, my friend, and Marvin, my friend, and my son, Dan, my daughters, Jessica and Natalie. I want to send a shout-out to my friend, Anna. I hope you're still working the program. I haven't heard from you, but hang in there. It does get better. It's easy to want to go back out, you know, but insanity is trying to do the same thing over again, the same way, and expecting different results. It just doesn't happen. Okay, my friend Dan, who's going back to Florida, he's been working a program now over 4 years. Good for you. My friend Clea. Oh, my Cleora. Oh, my God. This woman has meant so much to so many people on the West Coast and here back in Chicago as well. And she is so unselfish. She is so selfless. Giving, giving, giving. Struggling all along. It's been a real issue. She was really caught up in her addiction at one time, I guess. And yet, it's still trying to claim her. And I hope she can get it to the point where I have it in my life, where I'm not really bothered by alcohol anymore. I don't think of it much. I don't worry about it much. One day, one step at a time, and it works. So I hope you all get what you want and what you need. Okay? And I hope you find help. And I hope you find comfort. And you can in this 12-step program, one day, one step at a time. We're going to take a break here. I don't know how long, maybe a half hour, 10 minutes, half hour. I get caught up in the songs of Marilyn Scott. I enjoy her so much, and I want to share that with you. So sit back and listen to Marilyn Scott. You can call in during that time, area code 323-580-5755. I'll take your call off the air if you'd like. We could chat. Or you can come back on the air, whatever you'd like. Just tell me. Off the air, on the air. I have a question. I have a comment. Area code 323-580-5755 here on the Road to Recovery. And we'll be back with more when I feel like it. Okay?
Red or yellow, still a mind excursion can be. I'm in Amsterdam, which is without a doubt.
Thank you. morning just got started, and you're so open-hearted. You are the only thing I see. And if we dance to this embrace, and if the moon lights up this place, what will you feel like when shadows turn to light? What will you do?
Regret each and every single day. Marilyn Scott. Beautiful, beautiful man.
Got the flu, what can I do?
It saves so much more.
me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about your blood flow?
You write anything on your computer.
With SimpliSafe's Video Doorbell Pro, you'll know if the person at your door is friend or foe. Or just a late night cheese pizza with extra meatballs. In which case, it could be both. With my smart lock, I can let him in. And I can lock up from right here.
Same time tomorrow.
So take it from an expert. Get SimpliSafe and protect home like a pro.
Thank you.
Stop right there. If you're a mortgage holder, I'm going to show you one simple trick that'll pay your home off in 5 to 7 years on your current level of income. Number one, you got to start with a budget.
Okay, I'm back.
More money than
and we are back to the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. We enjoyed that prelude from Marilyn Scott. Man, she is awesome. Just love her. Okay, hope you had a good evening. Hope you enjoyed some of the things that we talked about. I know it's I'm spoon-feeding Marilyn Scott to you, but I just love that woman. And it gives me a chance to take a break. And you know what? I've talked enough tonight. It was good. I like the fact that I'm reconnecting with my son. You know, I know you guys and many of you have offered your support over the years. Said, hang in there. He'll come back. And you know what? The one thing that I've held true to, while I didn't always feel like it was going to happen, I managed to stay sober. And that works. You know what? One day, one step at a time, it really works. And I'm glad and grateful that I've done that. So, you know what? We'll be back next week with more of the Road to Recovery. I don't know what the topic is. I don't know where I'm going to be. Hopefully, I'll be sober. Hopefully, I will have another week of sobriety, but you know what? Doesn't matter, because today I am, and today I do, and that's all that really matters, and that's all that should matter for you, whether you have one day, 1 hour, 1 week, 1 month, 10 years, 100 years, whatever. Good for you. Keep doing it. Keep on doing it, because you know what? It works if your work is sober, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. And I know that. I can speak from personal experience. So, oh, and by the way, I didn't tell you. I had an almost hole-in-one today on one of the most difficult holes. I missed it by 12 inches. Oh, my God. It was exciting, okay, from where I was. And it was a 157-yard hole. So, you know what? Someday I'm going to get a hole-in-one. Even if I don't, I just love the fact that I even can try. In that I'm with my friends and we're having a good time and alcohol is absent. So hope you have those alcohol-free moments where life is good for you and keeps getting better. And it does. And I'm living proof that it does. So have a great week, folks. Unless you have other plans, reach out to somebody. Hug them. Say hello. Hello. Say hello first, probably, and then hug them. And let them know that you care. Even if you don't really know them. Just they're a human being, and they may have some special gift that you might enjoy. And you know what? Maybe we'll talk about the Celestine Prophecy next week. It was a book written as it relates to Alcoholics Anonymous. So, all right, folks, have a great week. I'm going to sign off now, and we'll see you again next week on the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, signing off. Good night.